I want to bring in tonight's MVP panel. Lindsay Piegs, an economist with FTN Financials with us. Matt Welch, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine. He joins us from Washington. And in Los Angeles, Fox News contributor Tammy Bruce. I'm going to start with you, Tammy. Is overhyping a bad thing? I mean, when you're talking about the personal loss of life and safety, life and limb and all that stuff?
Look, I think there's no way to really hype a hurricane. A hurricane is a scary thing. We've learned those lessons, certainly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've become a society of drama and victims. The left, which, of course, consumes the media and is in Washington, they want the drama, I think. You know, I look at it through a political spectrum as well. The more you can make this look like it's a big, bad hurricane, and then if Obama thinks he can get himself compared to Bush and, I guess, even quelled Irene. I mean, he does get everything downgraded, so maybe that's one of the better things for him. You know, I mean, this is it's a matter of drama and excitement and addiction to fear. And I think the media's got to start taking that seriously. But I think people wanted it to be bad. I think Washington perhaps did, and the media did.
Matt, wait a minute. Tammy just said that we wanted it to be bad. Did we want it to be, you know, a barn burner, a doggone, we can root for a big hurricane?
Were you watching the Weather Channel? I mean, at some point, the disappointment in their voices was overwhelming. You know, just to play contrarian for a second, though, let's remember that Vermont and Connecticut, they probably don't think that it's too overhyped up there right now. And what we're talking about is, you know, the pretty major hurricane, first one to land on U.S. Shores in, what, 3 years? And it was going over New York, which really hasn't happened in a long time. And that's obviously where our media center is headquartered right now. So it's kind of understandable that the typical built-in sort of exaggeration was there. I was more concerned with how they kept wagging their finger at any time, you know, a citizen dared jump out on the street and defend their own home while they were sitting out there on the beach trying to look heroic in the wind.
Yeah, Lindsay, I know you're all about civil disobedience, so, right? So, you know, you're an economist as well. Does this crying wolf thing become a behavior changer where people then start to ignore and then really get walloped?
Sure, but the problem is we don't know how bad a storm is going to be. So the government had to err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
They had to make sure that people were evacuated from the cities that were in the direct path and also protect as much infrastructure as possible. Mm-hmm. Here in New York City, that meant raising subway trains to higher ground. So I think they did take the appropriate steps. The problem was once we found out that the storm wasn't as strong as it originally was intended, the media was very dramatically looking for damage, keeping that hype, because it did. It kept people's attention. They liked the drama. And it also was a nice reprieve from the continued uncertainty and rebate that we've seen from foreign turmoil and economic weakness.
So, Tammy, we're a nation of drama queens. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe Obama's next stimulus is going to be to send every one of us a BOA at this point. I think that everybody's been right when it comes to, you know, recognizing the process. But, you know, there's a stage where people will turn to the TV on a weekend to watch if there is a threat to themselves, but less inclined to do so if there isn't. But shame on Obama and the government for also using this as a distraction from himself, frankly, causing more damage than Irene's ever done at this point.
So what you're saying is that this is a carefully calculated plot to take the TV screen away from bad news and put it to the hurricane. Tammy, come on, man. Everybody was doing it.
I think it's a preferred, as it was going on, there was calculations about, okay, how can we make this work to our benefit? I don't think it was you can't, you know, plot the nature of the fact that a hurricane's going to show up, but I think as it proceeded, I think there was a part of the discussion in Martha's Vineyard, I'll tell you right now, is how can they capitalize on this?
Well, it certainly would have been the perfect excuse for President Obama to get another stimulus package passed, so that certainly would have been a key opportunity that didn't come to fruition.
All right, Matt, you get the last word, because you've been the most restrained here.
Thanks. No, just to say that when the media hyperventilates like that, you thank God for things like Twitter, for writers and thinkers like Brendan Loy of Pajamas Media, where I got so much better information than I did watching the cable television.
There's our news break. Get your news from pajamas.com. That's really what I think. All right. I appreciate it very much, guys. Look at is Kruger a nightmare for Main Street? That story tops tonight's two-minute drill. Tonight's MVP panel, FTN financial economist Lindsay Piegza, Reason editor-in-chief Matt Welch, and Fox News contributor Tammy Bruce. All right, let's fire up the clock. President Obama will unveil his much-anticipated jobs plan next week after Labor Day. The chief architect of that plan will be his new chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, pro-labor economist Alan Krueger. He favors a 5% national sales tax, according to his writing. He, talks about hiking the minimum wage. All right, so the problem for Team Obama is the Republican-controlled Congress is going to reject this like out of thin air, and they're not going to want more government intervention. So, panel, here's the question. After the GOP rejects Obama's jobs plan, will Obama claim that, hey, my plan could have saved us? Lindsay, I mean, you know, the dog ate my lunch.
Of course he will. Of course he will. Because remember, he saved or created 2 million jobs after that stimulus. Remember?
I forget that.
But look, Krugman is actually perfect for the Obama administration. He is a card-carrying Keynesian, which says government is the solution. Grow the government, make the people and the markets reliant on the government. Unfortunately, this is exactly the opposite of what we need. We need to shrink the government because it's government policies and regulations that are actually disallowing the economy to recover.
All right, Matt, the Herald economist Lindsay Piggs says that a smaller government and less spending will actually make us grow. Do you buy that?
Amen. It's what happened in the United States after World War II. It happened in Canada in the 1990s, and it happened in New Zealand in the 1980s. It's happening in Puerto Rico as we speak, although most people don't pay attention to it. Listen, we had a jobs package last year. It's already down the memory hole, but we passed it.
Right.
And where did all those jobs come? It's the same ones that were supposed to be weatherized into existence by Joe Biden. It doesn't matter who the president's advisors are. Christina Romer is a perfectly fine academic. It didn't matter. Austin Goolsbee didn't turn him into a free market president. What matters is what the president thinks and what his party says.
I got you. Tammy, the leopard doesn't change its spots, right? You're not, if you're a Keynesian, always a Keynesian?
Well, look, Obama's going to choose somebody, unfortunately, who agrees with him. With the failure, his record of failure at this point, he really needs to choose somebody who disagrees with him so they can find a happy medium. I mean, this is a guy, he's been in the White House for 2 years. He's not new. He's one of the minds behind Cash for Clunkers. I mean, this entire country, they're going to turn into a clunker at this point.
So
they're experts at unemployment, at creating it. It's a problem.
I know. All right, good. Let's go to the next one. The Italians are dropping a proposed tax on the rich, right, from their austerity package. They'll replace it with other measures, right, perhaps an increase in their VAT tax to 21%, by the way. But panel, with other countries balking at hiking taxes on the rich, doesn't it make it harder, you know, for us to do the same thing? Tammy, I mean, are we going to be the only country that's going to be raising taxes on rich people?
Well, look, even Italy, and I don't know, they're mostly eating and drinking most of the time, and they even get it that they can't do the taxes on the rich. And they're also, and I'm Italian, so I get to say this, they're also actually considering dropping that VAT dynamic. So they understand it. Now, if the Italians get it, we better come forward. And the good news is the Republicans do have their own plan, and it is about getting rid of regulations and lowering taxes. And so let Congress finally step up to this plate and say enough is enough already.
So, Matt, the Democrats always argue the Republican solution got us on the huge problem of the financial crisis. So why would we trust these guys to build a more dynamic economy? So therefore, we should tax the rich. That's their I boiled it down to three sentences. Why are they wrong, I guess, is the question.
The first part of their sentence is not wrong. Republicans were miserable when in office under George W. Bush, and they deserve every bit of scorn that you can heap in their general direction, including pushing through a very panicky TARP in the fall of 2008 and beginning the stimulus package process and all of that. The Republicans are going to come up with some package of tax cuts and regulatory reform. The important thing to realize here is that, as the debt ceiling thing showed, we're not going to be raising taxes. It might be interesting to talk about from the Democratic point of view, but the American people don't want it. The Tea Party really doesn't want it. And as a result, Republicans are finally saying that they don't want it
either. All right, so what the Tea Party gets, Tea Party wants, or Tea Party gets. All right, hang on. This one I love. An editorial writer in the New York Times proposing a radical solution to the problems facing the nation's ugly, citing research that apparently shows attractive people make more money and get better breaks overall in life. They had to do a study of this, right? The author says ugly people should be protected by the Americans with Disability Act. All right, Lindsay, I don't even know what to say, but is he right?
Here's the question. First of all, how do you define ugly? Are we just basing it on facial features? What about hair color? What about height? What about someone who's too fat, too thin? And what about those that are too pretty? Maybe someone is discriminated against because they will be a distraction in the office. So it's really going to be difficult to quantify such a characteristic as ugly.
You know, Tammy, I totally agree with Lindsay because I have been discriminated against my whole life for being too pretty. I feel owed something, Tammy. I think something should come to me.
You know, look, all of this is in the eye of the beholder. You know, I mean, come on. And then there should be, what are you going to do when you're declared ugly? Isn't that in and of itself an insult and discrimination when someone declares that you're not as attractive as someone else? I mean, this is really Orwellian at this point. And it's not going to work out. But truly, I think it is. It goes into the eye of the beholder all the way from whether it's personal or in business.
Right. You know, Matt, I just have this mental picture of these people in line filing for their ugly, you know, benefit. This is sort of like everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, right? I mean, this is sort of a decent idea, but no one's going to really want to get in line and say, you know, give me my ugly benefit.
Yeah, except for the decent idea bit, I think. I think this is basically the best piece of satire I've read in the New York Times since Jason Blair. You know, the author says, you know, we can all agree that 1-2% of the population is ugly, so let's just name them. Why don't we just put a yellow star on their forehead while we're at it? And they also said that it's just require modest tinkering with the Americans for Disability Act to include tens of millions of new ugly people.
Modern tinkering. I just say plastic surgery or get over it. Okay, that's just me. It's time for Buy, Sell, and Hold. We take the names of the stories in the news and we treat them as if they were stocks. Would you buy, sell, or hold? All right, she's known for her crazy, outrageous outfits, but this one, it tops them all. You are looking at Lady Gaga as she appeared on the MTV Video Music Awards. Her male alter ego, Joe Calderon, was the name, and Gaga would only answer questions in the post-event press conference as Calderon. And, of course, she told the crowd that Gaga was upset and told Calderon to go to the award show instead of her. Gaga's new alter ego, buy, sell, or hold. Lindsay?
I have to say this is a buy. People love whatever she does.
Holy mackerel. All right, Matt?
Sell. It was nothing against Gaga or cross-dressing, but it wasn't even fresh when David Bowie was doing it 40 years ago, and he might be
Tammy?
Pretty.
You know, if this is about psychiatry, I'd say buy, but when it comes to alter egos, I say sell.
I'm with you. I like pushing the boundaries, but when you speak in the third person, that gets me. All right.
And meds.
All right, and holy say bye. All right, I like, well, who knows? All right, look, if you're not eating chocolate as part of your diet, you got to start now because that's the analysis of a new study of more than 100,000 people. They found chocolate not only satisfies your sweet tooth, but can reduce the risk for heart disease by about a third. Now, the study notes that dark chocolate is the best, and it should be consumed in moderation. All right, the heck with that. Chocolate, good for the heart?
Oh, a big buy on chocolate. How can you not be a buy on chocolate?
Yeah, I'm with you. Matt?
Buy chocolate, red wine, and coffee.
Tammy, there can't be anything political behind this, right?
No. A proof God loves us. Bye.
I am totally about. I like the 70% from Trader Joe's, by the way, if you like. Okay. All right. Look it. With Steve Jobs out as the Apple CEO, the speculation is Apple will do something big, really big, to show the company can survive and thrive without Jobs. At the top of the list, what will Apple do? I don't know. The rumor swirling is that the company is going to come out with an Apple-branded television. So the question is this a good idea? Should Apple get into the TV business? Lindsay?
I think everything Apple does is a great buy, so I'm going to put buy on this.
I'm with you.
I'd be
all right, Matt.
I say hold. I don't believe in the great man theory necessarily of history, but Steve Jobs is pretty great, so we'll see.
Tammy?
Yeah, he left with his fingerprints all over this. I say it's a buy.
Yeah, I say it's a buy, too. I happen to know that they've bought about 30% of the screens out there. They're going to be making a TV, and it's going to be awesome. All right, everybody else says it's a buy. I love it. Now, the new cast for Dancing with the Stars was announced today, and the biggest surprise, Chaz Bono, the transgender daughter of who's now, Sonny and Cher, right? So Chaz Bono on Dancing with the Stars. Is that a buy, sell, or hold? Lindsay?
I suppose I'm going to go buy on this one. It'll be interesting. I'm not sure what else to say to that one.
She's a little locked up. Matt?
Hold, and I'm not sure why. Just no evidence so far that Chaz Bono is a great dancer.
Oh, come on. Tammy?
I say it's a hold. It's how long he or she will last. We have no idea.
Come on. This is America. It's time for, you know, giving everybody a break. So you go break it, Chaz. All right. I don't even have a bicycle hold this. All right. Anyway, the government and media overhyped Hurricane Irene. Is that a bicycle hold, Lindsay?
I think they did overhype it, but from the state and local standpoint, I think it was warranted.
All right. Matt?
It's a hold, if we're still doing that terminology. It was definitely overhyped, but after Katrina, you do want to err on the side of prudence.
Yeah, all right. Tammy?
Yeah, a buy on that, overhyped, especially when they knew it was not really a hurricane.
Yeah, I'm going with the buy. I also think that the Weather Channel should, like, do disclosure that they have Home Depot as a client around this. All right, we got Friday's results, by the way. The question was, national flood insurance, should we have it? Only 12% said buy, 79% said sell, 9% said hold. All right, so that makes pretty good sense as well. All right, tonight, final score is coming right back.